Guys, we're here.
This is really daunting that we're, like, actually talking about this.
Like, this is our 8th episode and we're here.
We did this really fast, honestly.
We really did. First of all, let's just, like, apologize to all those people that got pissed with us not getting Infinity War. We had some technical difficulties.
There was a lot that was going on that I don't even know what happened, but there was, like, shit hit the fan for some reason with us. Like, not between us, but, like, just, like, our lives, like, hit the fan, like, shit hit the fan.
Yeah, it was wild. Like, the semesters were ending, summer started, work got busy, travel, all that kind of shit.
Yeah, stuff happened, but we're back, and now...
We are back, we are here.
Oh, gosh.
And we're ready to talk about one of the most depressing beginnings of a movie.
It was just...
Just, like, ugh.
Obviously... If you don't know what we're talking about, it's Endgame, and we're also going to be talking about Spider-Man Far From Home, but...
The end of an era, literally. End of it!
I know. We literally went through, like, 24 movies. Like,
I know, that's amazing.
I don't know how we did it, but we did it. Also, I don't mind my voice, I have a little bit of allergies, so apologize for that.
Oh, sick bitch.
I know. They sent me home from work, so fuck yeah. Anyway, that's that.
I hope none of your work people listen to this.
What? I mean, if they do, like, they sent me home. Like, I was fine. I said I could stay. I didn't want to, but whatever.
Meanwhile, you get a call. Lex, you're fired.
Shit. Fuck, whatever. Honestly, that would be a blessing if I was fired.
Literally. Yeah, so guys, if you don't remember, we left off with Infinity War, just like it ended, everyone got snapped, it was shit, we were all sad, and we wanted to cry. Yeah.
We talked about, like, dead, depressed, and, like, alive, or something like that. I forget.
Yeah, dead, dusted, depressed, and deceased.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That was a nice little... I like that.
That was a nice little segment.
So for this one, I think we're going to do the same thing that we kind of did with Infinity War. You know, we're going to have our roses and thorns just kind of, like, scattered throughout when we're talking. You know, it's not going to be something where it's, like, directly, like, this is what we like, this is what we didn't like. It's just going to be
It's going to be less, like, it's going to be a lot like what we did last time with Infinity War. Like, we're not going to be talking about the plot as much, but we're going to be talking more about specific things that we like during each scene of the plot.
Yeah. So, and I think, like, we like doing it that way, too, because we get to break it down, but also have fun with it. So,
yeah.
I think, with that being said, spoilers, obviously.
Well, duh. I mean, if you made it this far.
Yeah, we've been really lacking on that front with saying spoilers. We've been lacking...
Well, I mean, it's kind of obvious.
We've been lacking on all fronts recently, but why don't we just...
But we're still here for you guys.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's okay. So why don't we... Dive right in after that little, rabbit hole.
So, the first thing, I always forget that this opens with Hawkeye on his farm.
I don't remember either, ever.
But Hawkeye is just on his farm because he's under house arrest from Civil War, you know, all that jack shit.
Yeah, if you guys don't remember that. So, like, we're still, like, taking place after, like, obviously after Civil War, but, like, still super close after Civil War.
But, I mean, it's a little nicer because he has, like, a whole farm to, like, be under house to rest at. Like, Scott Lang had, like, his little, like, two-story house.
Yeah, like, townhouse type thing.
Yeah, like,
But...
So, he's outdoors, he's teaching his daughter how to shoot.
And this is the
first... And all of a sudden, she's just fucking gone.
This is the first time we hear him say Hawkeye, too. Like, we've never heard Hawkeye throughout the MCU, either.
Yeah.
We've heard, like, Hawk, but we've never heard Hawkeye, so, like, that's really cool, too. I don't know if anyone else caught on that. But, yeah, he's teaching his oldest daughter to shoot, and, you know, that bitch is gone with the wind.
And literally. The rest of his family, too.
Yeah, so basically...
He's just left alone on his fucking farm.
Basically, Clint, his life's in shambles at this point.
So, well, I mean...
Great.
I mean, I feel like half the universe's lives are in shambles.
Yeah.
And the other half are literally non-existent right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you make a point. But, Clint, it's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
And we also get a return of Iron Man. So last time we saw them, Nebula and Tony were on Titan.
They were
alone,
the last ones who made it.
With no one else around. They didn't have any gas in their ship. They were just like...
They took...
I guess we'll just float and fucking die, like...
I think they took the guardianship and, like, they managed to get, like, 48 hours of flight time, but, like, at that point they ran out of fuel and whatever, and, you know, they were just, like, floating aimlessly through space. And I think he teaches her to, like, obviously there's not a lot to break down and, you know, in the very beginning of this, but he teaches her to play finger football, which is really cool because it's the first time, like, she actually wins something. Like, if you can, like, if you can tell by her reaction, she always lost, like, compared to Gamora.
And it's, like, kind of funny, too. It's, like, he's kind of making her more human.
Yeah, definitely. Which is, like, funny because it's coming from Tony Stark.
But he leaves, so Stark leaves a message for Pepper thinking he's gonna die, and, like, right after that, Captain Marvel, that bitch just shows up and is like, you need a lift, bud?
I love her. I do. I love her.
She's so cool, but, like, ugh, she's so arrogant.
We're not getting into this again.
No, we're not. We're not. We talked about it. If you wanna hear all about it, go do our Captain Marvel episode.
Yeah, that's where we get it. So, obviously, she brings Tony and Nebula back to Earth, and, you know, we get all this big reunion, blah, 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 blah. So this is, like, you know, where... This is only, like, I think, like, a month after the snap, right? Because they were in space for, like, 20 days?
Yeah, something like that.
So, like, this isn't, like, so we're still in, you know, the snap just happened. So the blip isn't, like, there yet. So they still think they have a chance to, like, reverse it. So there's, so it's, like, Steve, Tony, Pepper is there, Banner's there. Thor, Rocket, and... I'm missing someone. Who am I missing?
I think you got them all.
Are you sure?
I think you got them all.
Okay. But they're all there, and I think Rhodes is there, too. But, you know,
Steven... Yeah, you're right. You're right. War Machine.
Yeah. Steve and Tony get into their fight again, basically pretending back to Civil War, like, lack of trust and working together, you know what I mean?
Honestly, can they just get a fucking room?
It was just, like, I understood why they were fighting, but, like, with Tony, I was like, dude, like, I don't know what more you want from him. Like, you guys were both fighting Thanos, just, like, in different parts of the universe.
And, let's just be real, Tony Stark has literally, like, not had food for, like, weeks.
How long?
Like, I think it's, like, a week or two.
Yeah, I think,
like, they run out of rations, like, midway through.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, like, you see how skinny he is. Like, damn, like, you're really gonna fight him over that shit? Like, he's a cranky ass.
It made me... Oh, that skeeves me out when I see, like, people that skinny. Like, I know it's not, like, real, but, like...
Yeah.
Skeeves me
out.
It's
still kind of, ugh.
Yeah. But it's okay.
So, Tony's sedated because he's just, like, he's getting all, like, he's getting all huffy, and his body can't, like, support the huffiness.
So this is, like, where they all kind of team up and talk about where Thanos could be, and obviously the only one who knows is Nebula. And she talks about the garden. So, do you want
to tell me? It's just, like, it's like his Eden.
Yeah,
it's just like this is my Florida. It's like a Florida planet.
He's like, this is my utopia. So I think they all go to space, and, you know, it's revealed that he destroyed the stones because they no longer served a purpose beyond temptation. Is what
he said. The only thing, like, he didn't destroy them, per se, he just reduced them to atoms.
Yeah, so no one would really find them.
Because, like, if you destroy the stones, like, we talk about this later, but, like, if you remove a stone from the universe, like, completely, like, the universe is just gonna be in shambles.
Yeah, like, the universe needs all the stones to, like, you know, like, survive
coherently. Be balanced.
Yeah. So... This is kind of, like, I love this scene. Like, I love this scene, but I hate this scene. Because, like, this is where we actually see Thor, like, depressed.
And it's, like, yeah, his, like, true colors, I feel like.
Yeah, he decapitates him, and Rocket's like, what did you do? And he's like, I went for the head. Which is, like, I love it, but I hate it. But it makes sense.
Like, I wish he didn't, because, like, I want Thanos to, like, atone for everything.
Yeah. It just felt weird.
But whatever. If any of the Avengers were gonna be like cold blooded murderers, it would be Thor, let's be real.
I'm happy it was Thor though. But it's fine.
Like if it was like Captain America or even Captain Marvel, I think people would just hate them.
Yeah, no, that would have been
like, It fit Thor.
Yeah, no, it definitely fit Thor. So after that we jump to 5 years later, which is the blip. Obviously.
Yeah, so 5 years later, my God. I can't believe, like, that's such a huge time jump.
I know. I didn't think they were going to make the blip that long, honestly.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes sense, because, like, this is, like, where people, I guess, finally start to accept what's happened, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense, but this is where Scott Lang returns, and we see a new Hulk.
Oh, God. So Lang comes back from the Quantum Realm, and he sees, like, the world is in disarray, but, like, they're rebuilding. He has no fucking clue what's going on. He's like, why are there people gone? Like, why are there just planes in the street? Like, what? Like, what's going on? Why is this here? Why is this like this? What is the year?
And then what's really cool is he, like, goes to find his daughter. Well, he first goes to, like, the memorial for the Dustin.
Like, it's basically, like, a 9/11 memorial for all the people that are snapped.
Yeah. So
he sees his name, and he's like, what?
He's like, what does this mean? But then he goes and finds his daughter, and she's, like, all grown up, which is really weird but cool. And then he heads to, like, the Avengers base. And this is where things get weird in the movie, but, like, a good weird.
So, basically, he proposes the idea of time travel because he realized that the 5 hours he was in the Quantum Realm equated to 5 years on Earth.
But the
so he was like, well, if there's time dilation, then maybe we can go back in time and fix this shit.
And the problem with, like it's smart, but the problem with that, I think, was, like, it's not reliable. Like, he got lucky.
Like, how do you control it?
Yeah, like, he got lucky, basically, is what Tony said to him. So, I think they go to see Tony first, right? Or do they go to see Hulk first?
No, they go to Hulk first.
Yeah, okay. I think you're right. You're right.
Because, like, they just meet up. They just meet up with Hulk first. And they're like, yo, is this a possible idea?
Yeah, you're right.
And Hulk is now, like, Hulk body, Bruce mind, which is, like, super cool, but I kind of hate it.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
It took, like, it's just weird, but, like, whatever.
It took away from Hulk, but it's
fine. It kind of did. Like, there's no more Hulk smash. It's, like, Hulk right on chalkboard.
Yeah, it's just weird, but we're evolving.
But he's like, yeah, it could be a good idea, but, like, I think we need Tony's help.
Yeah, so I think it's Steve, Natasha, Scott, They go and ask Tony,
and they're like, yo, bro, can you help us figure out time travel? And Tony's like, I don't want to fuck anything up. Like, I'm happy. Like, sorry, it sucks what happened, but we need to start moving on.
Yeah. He's like, I can't risk, like, what I have, because he has his daughter, Morgan, from Infinity War. Remember?
He's a family man now.
I know. But, so, you know, after they're turned down by Tony and everything, I think they go back to Hulk, and they're kind of like, oh, well, let's try this time travel thing. And instead of, like, it working correctly, they push time through Scott instead of pushing Scott through time. So, like, they make him age different, like, levels, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, like, it's the running joke with that actor that he doesn't age. Like, he's looked the same for, like,
It's
been, like, 15 years. The running joke.
I didn't even think about that. With Paul Rudd.
Yeah, that's why they did it with Paul Rudd. They're like, this is gonna be so funny because he never, like, ages.
Oh my God, I didn't even think of that like that. So obviously that ends in, you know, disaster. And then we get to Stark. We go back to our lovely Stark. So after the three leave, you know, Tony cleans up the dinner and, you know, that they had and everything. And he sprays a picture of Peter Parker. And this is what sparks him to, like, you know, run the models for fun, basically, of, like, a time travel compass.
And he basically creates a fully functional model on a whim, and he's like, I don't want, like, I'm not going to give it to them. And then he talks with Pepper, and Pepper basically says, can you live with yourself knowing that you could have fixed this?
Right, and I think she said also, like, one of her things was, like, that I've never been able to, like, get you to do, like, what you should, or, like, or it's been one of the failures of my life. I don't remember exactly what she said, but...
Yeah, it was she's never been able to influence him the correct way,
or, like,
she thinks.
Yeah, so...
Even though, like, she's wrong.
Yeah, this is also where we get the famous, like, I love you 3000 line, even though we don't realize it's that famous until, like, the end of the movie, but this is, like, where we first get it. Because between him and his daughter, Morgan. So, after he creates the model, he goes back to Avengers Base, and he also brings Cap's shield, which is, like, huge.
Because it's like a peace offering, olive branch kind of deal.
Yeah, like, in my opinion.
I trust you again. Please don't be a dick and accept me.
Yeah. So, while he's there, we kind of get, like, a breakdown of the rules of time travel. I don't really understand it fully. So, Matt, can you please?
So, just imagine that they do, like, a really good explanation of it in the movie. But, like, imagine that our, like, timeline is just a single line going left to right. When you go to, like, whenever you jump to a different time, you also jump to a different line. Like, you're not on the same line that our time is on.
You break off into another reality.
Yeah, you're on, like, you're branched off to a different timeline, so anything you do won't affect the timeline that you're from.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, to stop all of these branching timelines from forming, any, like, discrepancies, anything, like, that they do to the timeline has to be fixed. So, they would have to return stones and fix the artifacts. We also talk more about that later on as we get into the actual time travel events.
Yeah.
But just as, like, a really quick, just to, like, to put it here since we are talking about this.
Mm-hmm. So, that's, like, a quick little rundown. So after that, we go back to Thor and Clint, or Ronan, his alias. You want to talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, so Thor is at New Asgard, which is Tonsberg, Norway. We've seen it in the past. It's, like, a really nice throwback to, like, Captain America, to the first Thor movie. Like, it's just, like, a good throwback because so much has happened here, like, at this place in Norway.
Yeah, I think that's
what it's about. And we kind of see a new side of Thor. Yeah. I don't really like it. He's, like, playing Fortnite and shit, and he's, like, fat and drunk.
I don't think anyone... I mean, like, looks
like
aside...
Like, it was funny that he was playing Fortnite, but, like, no, please.
Like, okay.
Spare us.
I know for, like, a lot of, like, guys who watch the show, or, oh my god, the show, the movies, they're like, oh, the girls are just mad because he's not, like, hot in the movie. Looks aside... Like, I don't care about the looks. Looks aside, like, it's just not how I would ever envision, like, Thor dealing with failure. Like, yeah, maybe for, like, a little bit,
yeah.
But, like... In Ragnarok, like, he failed, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I feel like he failed on his own terms. I think it's because he was basically tricked by Thanos.
Yeah, but still, it's just like, I don't know. It's not how you...
I agree with you. It's kind of like, it's kind of shitty the way we see him.
I like that it humanizes him, but it also is just like, I don't think he would actually, like... you know, go kind of that, like, to that level. I feel like he would still want to do everything for his people and stuff like that. So,
I don't know. I feel like it, like, just comes down to, like, the amount... He had so much pride in himself and, like, his abilities and, like, him not being able to, like, function. Just, like, he doesn't have that pride in himself. And
yeah.
I feel like that was, like, his driving force.
I think I made a little note about that. I think, like, what I said was... I think it was a huge character downgrade for him, but it also shows the effects of losing, failure, and pride. So, like, he was so prideful that when he lost, he was so ashamed and didn't feel worthy anymore.
Yeah.
So
I totally agree with that.
Yeah. So, that's kind of, like, what's going on with Thor and Asgard, basically. And then...
And we kind of have something similar with Hawkeye, too.
Yeah, honestly...
Like, Hawkeye's in what? Like, Tokyo? He's in some Asian country.
No, I think it's... I think you're right. I think it's Tokyo.
Is it Tokyo? He's in Japan, Tokyo.
Yeah. I was gonna say China,
and
Tokyo.
He's just killing all these bad people.
Dude,
he's going
right.
by the alias Ronin, and he's just, like, out killing all of the bad guys that survived the snap.
Yeah, and he thinks, like, why were you, like, allowed to live when my family died, you know? So...
Yeah.
He kills... I think it's, like, a mafia man, like, but a Chinese version, you know? Like, obviously,
yeah.
You can have mafias in all different countries, but, like, this is, like, a Chinese mafia. But,
yeah.
You know, he kills him, and then Natasha shows up to give him hope, and he's like, don't give me that. You know, I don't want hope. You know, that whole kind of big thing. So,
yeah.
A lot of, these, like, what we've gone through right now is really setting up for the movie. It's a lot of, like, not filler, but, like, it takes up so much of the, not, like, so much of the movie, but it kind of, like, you need a lot to, like, understand, like, what's happened, you know, since the blip and everything like that.
Yeah.
So it's, like, a filler, but, like, it's a necessary filler, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So before they can, like, actually go in time and, like, time travel and get the stones, they actually have to figure out where all of the stones are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the whole crew basically just gets together and they're like, where have we seen the stones before? Like, where's everyone been in contact with them?
Yeah.
they realize that the time, mind, and space stones are all in New York City during the big New York City battle.
2012.
From the first Avengers movie.
Yeah.
And the reality stone is Asgard from Dark World. So now we get, this is what I was saying when we were, when we first went over the Dark World episode.
Mm-hmm.
We, like, I was like, oh, this doesn't really matter now, but there's, like, it has more impact later on. And this is, like, where it matters.
Yeah.
Like, we go back into time to Dark World, and we're like, oh, shit, this is actually a relevant movie.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're watching it, it doesn't feel relevant, but now you're like, oh, wow, this makes sense.
Like, without it, this movie would not be the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then the Power Stone is, stolen from Quill in 2014. That's on, what, Morag?
Yeah, it's on Morag.
And then, you know, Clint and Natasha go to Vormir for the Soul Stone in 2014.
Because they know that, like, it's just easier for them, like, everyone to go to, like, 2014 or 2012. And that way, like, we know where everyone is. And, like, the Soul Stone will always be on Vormir.
Yeah. It's never going to be anywhere else. At least to our knowledge right now. That's always where it kind of is, basically. You know, who knows what could change in the future, but...
And then one thing that we'll talk more about, but just to say it here, because we know that Steve and Tony failed to get the Space Stone in 2012, they need to go back in time to a different point in order to get the Space Stone and Pym Particles so they can travel back to the present.
Yeah. So I think what we'll talk about first is the Time Stone in New York City during 2012. I think that's where we'll start.
So Hulk, he's the one that's like, I will go get the Time Stone. Y'all go get the other two. So we have Hulk, Stark, Cap, and Ant-Man.
Yeah, that's who's in, like, the 2012 timeline right now. So that's who's there. So, yeah, he gets it from the Ancient One. But it doesn't really go according to plan when he wants to get it. You know, he thinks it's going to be easy breezy. I'm just going to take it from her. But then she does the same thing to him, which he did to Strange when she pushes him out of his body. I love that. I think it's so cool.
I love the astral plane. Like, it's just such, like, a cool tool they use to, like, discuss shit outside of, like, the movement of time, you know?
It's so cool. I just, like, I love the movements. I just, like, oh.
Yeah. I like the shadowy, like.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I get you. So, this is where we get the more solid breakdown of why you can't remove the stones from, like, the current timeline.
Basically, every time you remove one, it creates an alternate parallel reality where there's just, like, shit hits the fan because if you remove one stone, then the universe is out of balance and then everything's just...
So, I think she said, like, if you remove one stone from, like, the, you know, main timeline, then it creates a little branch off one where that is complete chaos for their reality, if that makes any sense. I think that's how she explains it. So, then, I think this prompt, like, when she says that, this prompts, you know, Banner to ask, like, why Strange gave up the time stone so willingly. Right? I think that's...
And then the ancient one's like, oh, shit, if he gave it up, he must have had a good-ass reason.
Yeah. I think she says he's supposed to be the best of us, and, like, she's like, what the hell? So I think...
Yeah.
I think this is where we get... This is where we get the promise that they're gonna bring back all the stones. Like, this is where, like, we get the, like, okay, so, like, this is where we have to bring back all the stones.
Yeah.
So, like, Time Stone, that was relatively easily gotten.
Yeah, you can just give it back. And I feel like it says a lot about her as a character.
Yeah.
That, like, it was easy to get. Like, she trusts them and she knows that, like...
Yeah.
I feel like she has enough, like, foreshadowing ability. Like, she can predict this shit well enough to be like, yeah, they're gonna fix this shit.
I'm still mad, though, that she was killed in Doctor Strange.
I know.
Like,
whatever.
She would have been such a cool, like have mentor, like, still there.
I mean, maybe she'll come back in the multiverse.
That's very true. Very true.
Now we're going to talk about the Space Stone. So basically, Stark and Lang infiltrate Stark Tower and witness the arrest of Loki. So this is, like, the end of the battle. All the shit has, like, finished hitting the fan. Like, we're all, like, good. It's, like, basically the end of Avengers.
Uh-huh.
Lang goes to 2012 Stark, goes inside the arc reactor, and basically places Stark in cardiac arrest so that 2023 Stark can steal the Tesseract.
Yeah, this is where shit kind of gets confusing, like, when you're not watching it and talking about it, but that's fine. So, I also, I read about this somewhere. You know how they played, like, a lot of finger football with, like, on the ship, him and Nebula?
Yeah.
That's why he was able to flick Ant-Man so well. I don't think I told you about this before. I, like, just remembered it.
Stop. There's, that's like, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, like, such, like, subtle little things that, like, it blows my mind every time I hear about them.
But, yeah. So, basically, Hulk, 2012 Hulk. So, before he, like, got...
So, this is where shit gets fucked up. This is where shit gets fucked up.
So, 2012 Hulk smashes into the lobby and allows Loki to grab the Tesseract and escape.
So, this is...
And it's just... So,
side note, this is where, you know, the Loki show, from what we know, is this is what it's going to follow. Like, this timeline, yeah. Loki, the one that, like, took the, you know, space stone. As far as we know, that's what we think it's going to follow, but yeah.
But, yeah, this basically just alters the timeline and screws up the plan, so the team has to make a new plan, and this also automatically breaks the promise that Hulk made to the Ancient One, because they can't now fix that timeline.
True. I didn't even think of that.
But it also didn't get... It's not going to create a branching reality, because the time stone or the space stone is still in that universe, yeah, and they that
didn't,
timeline.
They didn't remove it.
So it's just
going to
screw up the order of events.
Yeah, that's true. It's not like... It's just missing. Like, it's there, but it's not like... It's still in that timeline. I get what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
So, as all of this is happening, we're trying to get the Mind Stone. So, this is my favorite scene of the whole movie. This is my second favorite scene of the whole movie.
It's a great scene, though.
So, Captain America enters that infamous elevator in the S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters.
Yay.
And Sitwell is there, and all the other people are there, just like some elevator fight, if you guys remember.
It's really
exactly the same setup. Exactly the same.
It's exactly parallel to Civil War. Literally.
And they're like, Cap's like, I need to take that. Like, give me the stone.
I was ordered to take the scepter, you know?
And then Sitwell's like, bullshit, I don't believe you.
And then
Cap's like, okay, well, he says, Hail Hydra.
I just love the way he says it. He leans in, he doesn't even whisper it. He just goes, Hail Hydra. And they're like,
They're like, what?
They're like, this goes to Captain America? They're like, no way. So, I can't believe they actually fell for it, honestly, but...
Yeah, like, it doesn't fit his character at all. Like, what? But, whatever.
That's fine.
He gets the scepter, he's leaving the building, and he runs into 2012 Cap. And 2012 Cap's like, who are you?
He thinks it's Loki, remember?
Yeah.
He's like, I've located Loki doing recon or some shit like that. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah. So, 2012 Cap asks how 2023 Cap got the whole Peggy lock, you know?
Yeah, the Peggy locket, and that confuses the shit out of him. And then I think how Cap, like, 2023 Cap overpowers 2012 Cap is he's like, says, like, Bucky's still alive and then gets the upper hand, right?
Yeah, and then he knocks 2012 Cap out, because like 2012 Cap apparently was like getting the upper hand.
Mm-hmm. And no one else knows about Bucky. Like, I don't think anyone, like, yeah. Obviously they know about Bucky, but like they don't, yeah, like, why would someone
see
say
I wonder
alive?
If that's gonna be brought up in the Loki show as well.
What do you mean?
Like, I wonder if 2012 Cap will remember that 2023 Cap said that, or if he'll think it's a dream.
Oh, that's true.
You know, because that'll, like, alter that timeline as well.
No one else really interacted with their past selves except Captain.
Yeah.
But that
so, like,
also...
I'm thinking that 2012 Cap is just going to be like, that was a weird dream. Loki must be doing some crazy shit.
Huh. Maybe. But I'm
like,
not sure.
I guess we'll find out in a few weeks.
I'm not sure, honestly, because... We might not know because of where, you know, the MCU is going right now with Captain America.
Yeah.
It might not even be touched on. But from this scene, we also get, like, some of the famous lines, like, as far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass. It may have been a little bit before that, this scene, but it was still good.
Well, yeah, because Cap knocks out 2012 Cap and looks at him and is like, that is America's ass.
It's like, yeah, that is America's ass. And then you also get the, oh my god, what's the other one? He's like, yeah, I know, you can do this all day. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I love how we have these little inside jokes as we're trying to explain all this shit.
I know. It's fine.
Okay, so the team then reconvenes and they're like, well, shit, we don't have the space stone. So they decide to send Langholm with the mind and time stone. Well, Hulk went back to, you know, the whole deal.
Yeah.
They send Lang and Hulk back. So Cap and Stark decide to go to 1970 to Camp Lehigh, Virginia, to go get the space stone from Howard Stark and to get more Pym particles
so they can make
Pym
it
was working
home.
With Howard.
Yeah, so they can make it back home. So this could have ended really badly too if they didn't pick like the right year. But that's fine.
Yeah. No, it worked. It worked. We're good. So meanwhile, 2013 Asgard, Thor and Rocket are headed to Asgard to retrieve the Reality Stone and / the sludge from Jane Foster. You know? Because mm-hmm. Dark World shit. Thor's still a hot mess.
Yeah.
He's still like, this fucking sucks. Rocket's like, you know what? You stay here, buddy. You just chill. I'll go get the stone.
Well, no. He gives him, like, a pep talk, and he's like, you need to, like, you know, charm her or whatever, but then he, like, runs to, like, the cellar or whatever.
Well, yeah. So then Rocket's like, whatever. I'll just leave you do, and I'll do what I need to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Thor, while he's, like, rummaging through the castle, runs into his fucking mother, who's been dead since Dark World.
I think they're there on the day that, like, she gets murdered.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
So he's like, yo, don't go in there, you're gonna die. And she's like, whatever, it's gonna happen anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, she gives advice to him and things like that, which is nice. I think what he really needed was, you know, advice from his mom to, like, get
him. Well, that, and I mean, you know, the ego boost from being able to pick up Mjolnir.
What did you just call it?
Mjolnir.
It's Mjolnir.
I don't think it matters, okay.
We're gonna have a talk about this later. Anyway. But, you know, he gets it back and he's, like, still deemed worthy from his hammer. Like, you know, air quotes, deemed worthy from his hammer. Which I think is what he really needed, too. I think you're right.
Yeah. Rocket retrieves the Reality Stone. They head back to the present time. There's, like, no hiccups. It's very just, like, fixing Thor.
Yeah, you know, it was just, you know, it happened. What needed to happen, happened.
Meanwhile. In 2014, we're on Morag, and Nebula and Rhodes, they go and they retrieve the Power Stone. They knock Quill out, and they're like, we work with what we got.
Yeah. I honestly love that.
That's such a great line,
no,
too.
That's, like, my favorite line. Like, one of my favorite lines. Because, you know, Nebula's, like, this little, basically, like, 80% machine. And then, you know, Rhodes has the stuff on his legs to make him walk after what happened in Civil War. And, you know, he tells, and I think, like, this is, like, the first time, you know, Nebula really gets, like, a human connection relationship with people.
Yeah.
So I think it's honestly great, you know? He's like, we work with... It's just, it's a good, like, heartfelt moment in the heat of everything.
And this is where the movie gets kind of interesting. So yeah. They're about to sync up. They're about to go and basically just go back to the present because they did their mission. And Nebula is stuck on Morag because the reality... So her 2014 version is mixing with her current version.
Her 2020.
And it's making her not be able to, like... jump.
Yeah, I think it, like, causes, it's, like, painful, and it, like, causes her to, like, glitch or something like that. I think it's,
yeah, like, she needed
it.
She basically, like, needed a moment to just, like, figure out what's up.
I think she still could have gotten back, couldn't she have? Like, that's what I never understood.
Yeah, no, I think she was just in, like, a lot of pain, and she was like, let me just chill for a sec.
Yeah, I was gonna say, there's no way that she couldn't have gotten back, but
Thanos now knows that, like, what they were planning on all of that. And he also knows that, so, like, basically, current Nebula and 2014 Nebula can, like, share their thoughts.
Yeah, like, they have the memories and stuff. Like, 2014 Nebula has memories of 2023 Nebula.
So, 2014 Nebula is telling Thanos all this shit, and Thanos is like, ooh, well, that means I won. I need to go and stop them from beating me.
Yeah.
Future me. Like, it's confusing, but, like, this is basically what gets him re-involved.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And then we're back to Camp Lehi. Did I say that right?
Lehi.
I don't know why
it's Lehi. Oh my god. We're gonna talk about that.
Yep. That makes sense. That's fair. That's fair.
But, so Stark and Cap sneak into the camp, and Cap's like having like a little deja vu kind of action. He's like, damn, I was here in 1940s, and it's like exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
Cap. This is like the third time he's been back to this camp, too.
Yeah, he was there in Civil War. No. Yeah, he was there in Civil War.
Yeah, Civil War.
I forgot about that. Huh. That's so true.
So they sneak in and they split up. Stark goes to the basement to find the Tesseract, and Cap has to go find some more Pym particles.
Yeah, so Tony runs into his dad, which is weird but nice, because he finally gets closer.
It's like, it's good for his character. Like, I feel like he needed to have a conversation with his dad in order to fully forgive Cap and to also, like, forgive himself.
And also forgive his dad. Like, he thought his dad was, like, a dick to him. But, like, I know his dad, like, loved him. He just, like, couldn't show it in the right way, I guess, is the right way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, it probably had, like, it resonated with him a lot because, like, Tony's the dad now, too.
Yeah, that's so, oh my god. And he was giving his dad on father advice. Oh my god, it comes full circle.
God. Sorry. See, this just makes his death just, like, better.
Oh my god, stop. I'm not prepared to talk about that yet.
Neither am I. We're going to stop before that. But meanwhile, so they're having this conversation, and he grabs a Tesseract, and he leaves to rendezvous with Cap.
You know what's...
Cap sneaks into Pym's office and steals the particles.
You know what's great about, before we talk about Cap, like, go into detail with him, is when Tony sees his dad, he, like, is about to forget the Tesseract.
I know.
I was like, bro, what are you doing? But it's okay. All right, now let's talk about Cap.
He's in Pym's office. He steals some particles. He then hides in a different office because he, like, sees some people and he doesn't want to get caught. So, meanwhile, he's in that other room and he can, like, this room has, like, a glass wall. And he sees Peggy in the other room.
I still don't understand how she didn't see him. Like, come on, bitch.
I know. Like, the lights were off, but, like, are you that blind? Like, damn.
Unless it was, like, one of those, like, one-way things.
I guess, maybe. I don't know.
But
he basically starts contemplating, like, what life could have been like with her. And he, like, daydreams about her. And it's, like, really sad.
I don't know. I just don't buy the whole shit that she didn't see him. Like, really? You're gonna tell me you didn't feel, like, eyes on the back of your neck, bitch? Like, come on. Anyway.
Yeah. So, Cap and Stark return to the present, and all is well and good.
Yay. Okay. This is where it kind of gets a little sad.
I agree. Gamora Part 2.
This is gonna be really controversial. Here we go again with that word.
Very good.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Why do I always stumble over that word? Anyway. What I'm going to say here, not a lot of people are going to like, but it's... Honestly, it's just facts. So we're at Vormir in 2014 with the Soul Stone with Clint and Tasha. Before I get controversial, Matt, why don't you break it down for us, please?
So they're at Vormir... They're like, okay, we got to get the Soul Stone. But they didn't know that they had to sacrifice someone they loved or something they loved, you know, a life for a life. They didn't really know that. So they were like, well, shit, who's going to die? They meet Red Skull again. And he's like, yo, Clint, your dad and mom's name. And same thing with Natasha. And this also sets up some Black Widow stuff. Because Natasha didn't know her father's name, and it kind of, like, comes full circle. Like, oh, I didn't even know my dad's name.
How does he know?
Interesting. So, hopefully we'll get some, like, flashbacks, some callbacks for that kind of stuff. But that's just, like, a little setup for Black Widow.
Ooh, fun.
And then Natasha and Clint decide to fight over who's going to be sacrificed. It's super emotional because they're, like, they're yelling at each other, but, like, they're super sad that one of them has to die, and they're like, no, I'm going to die.
It's like they're yelling at each other, but, like, it's, like, a loving yell. They're like, you're not doing it, like, you have more to live for, blah, 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 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So this is where it gets controversial.
I mean, I agree with you if it's any consolation.
So a lot of people are like, it should have been Clint. Honestly, Marvel made the right choice with Natasha. I mean, character-wise, yes, she could have, like, grown more and done more, but, you know, honestly, she didn't really have a lot to live for anymore within the MCU. I mean...
Yeah, like, I mean, like, Hulk... It sounded like her and Hulk were basically over. Like, that whole romance thing was kind of weird.
It wasn't even right in the first place. Like, that whole... That
like, was it was just weird. Like, it's just no. Just no.
And then, I mean, there was also that thing maybe between her and Captain, but, like, that but was...
Like, weird. Also, she can't have kids, and that, like, really broke her, too.
Yeah, and and you know what? Like, you know, Clint has a family, and he, you know, he has something to live for, and, like, also, if you think about it, like, the whole reason, like, Natalie wanted... Why did I say Natalie? Ugh. I don't like that. The whole reason...
Yeah, no, ew, ew, ew.
I don't know why I said that.
The whole reason, Natasha.
I know. I don't know why I said, like, Natalie Rushmore from, like, the first Captain America, Iron Man, what the fuck is going on? Anyway.
But, yeah, so continue with your thought.
I don't even remember what I was saying, but, I mean, I feel like the whole reason, like, she was sacrificed was because, you know... She was all alone. She didn't really have that much left to do. And the whole reason she went to go get Clint was because he had something to, like, live for. Like,
she was like, you have a family. Like, that was part of her, like, thing. Like, you can see them again.
Yeah, she was like, you have...
Like, can you imagine what the family would have thought? Like, if Clint died trying to save them? Like, oh my god, what?
I mean, it would have been, like, obviously it still would have been as emotional, but, like, I think they made the right call, you know? Like...
Yeah.
It sets up, you know, for Hawkeye, too, the show Hawkeye.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. But, say what you want, MCU made the right choice, I don't care. Like, I will fight you on this.
Natasha died, Clint gets the Soul Stone, and then goes back to the present.
And then, you know, everyone has, like, that huge fight about, like, she's not coming back, blah, 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 you know? Whatever.
Yeah, so... Now we're going to actually talk about the blip. So, real quick, there's, like, a lot of confusion between Marvel fans about, like, what the blip, like, represents.
And refers to. The blip,
a lot of people say that the blip represents only the 5-year time jump, but it really represents the people coming back from the snap after 5 years.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So, like, just to, like, put that in, to make that clear for everyone.
Agreed.
Just so when you're talking and when you hear it in WandaVision and everything else, you're not like, wait, what?
Yeah, so the blip refers to, like, you know, everyone that came back after the snap.
But, so, everyone gets back to the present, and everyone's, like, really sad about Natasha, but they're like, okay, we gotta keep moving forward, so, like, her death wasn't in vain, you know?
Yeah,
basically. So Iron Man made a gauntlet for Hulk. Well, he made a gauntlet for anyone to wear. It's a nano gauntlet. But Hulk is the one that wants to wear it because he's like, I'm made for this. I was made out of gamma radiation. Like, this is gamma radiation. Like, let me take this shit.
Look at that. Full circle from, like, the second fucking movie. But it's fine. It's perfect.
Which is, like, a shitty movie, too. But, like, they still made it full circle.
It's still cool. So,
but,
you know, I think they enclose themselves, you know, in the compound and then get ready. So, you know, Hulk snaps it. He brings everyone back. But the whole thing is, like, don't change anything from the past 5 years. Just, like, return everyone who is dusted.
Yeah. He also, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, he also tries to bring back Black Widow.
He does.
But it doesn't work.
Yeah, but he couldn't. Yeah. It was, like, it's, like, permanent. Like, that's something you can't change.
And yeah, I think that's really sad.
That's what Clint said, too. He's like, I don't know, that guy made it pretty fucking clear, like, she's not coming back.
She's done. She's dead.
Yeah, shit. That'd be sad. That's fine, though.
But, so, the thing that I've actually never realized, you were the one that pointed this out, was the birds chirping right after the snap. Like, I never, I'm just stupid. I never realized that, like, there's more birds and shit because there's more life.
It takes you, after watching it a few times, to, like, realize it. Because the first time you watch it, you're just, like, so engrossed that you don't pick up on the small stuff.
Yeah. And then Clint gets a call from his wife, and he's like, oh my god, you're alive! Woo!
He's like,
and they're all happy, but they're all still kind of sad that, like, Natasha's dead, and Hulk's arm is, like, dead.
Yeah, you know, Hulk be looking real weak there, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So...
But right after that, Thanos' army comes through the fucking quantum tunnel. Fuck him.
Yep, that seems about right.
And he's like, okay, give me the stones. I'm gonna fix your mistake,
well,
I'm gonna eradicate the entire Earth. for the entire universe and rebuild it.
He screws up the entire Avengers, like, base or whatever, and, like, half the people are, like, underground, like, drowning and whatever, but, you know.
And this is where the start of the Battle of Earth this is where the Battle of Earth begins. This is where it starts. This is the end game.
Yep, so. we're in the end game now.
But we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back just to jump into these last few momentous scenes of Phase 3.
Oh, God. Get ready. We'll be right back. And we're back. And we're going to be
talking. We're back, Corey, people.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is, like, the thing I've been most excited to talk about, honestly. Like,
since we started.
Right? Like, every episode has been leading up to this moment right now.
To this moment. Oh, God.
To this moment. The battle. So, it's like Battle of Earth, like, 2.0, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, so, last we left off, we were just talking about Hulk doing the blip, and all of a sudden, Thanos' army comes to Earth through the whole quantum portal shit that they built.
He says, I'm back, bitches. And has Gamora
and Nebula there.
He says, I'm back, bitches. So, yeah.
Fuck him.
So, yeah, everyone is just kind of, like, displaced. Like, he destroys the Avengers base, I think. So, I think Clint, Ant-Man, Rocket, Rhodes, and Hulk are underneath, like, where it's being flooded. And then right, Thor, Captain, and Iron Man are, like, up there trying to hold off Thanos.
Agreed. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, no. So, like, that's where everyone is. So, I think what happens is, well, not I think, I know. But past Nebula tricks Clint for the gauntlet because he thinks it's, like, current Nebula.
Real Nebula? Yeah. Yeah.
But that doesn't last long because, you know, present Nebula kills her past self with Gamora.
Bad bitches.
Yeah, so, like, it's kind of cool, too, because we see, like, past Gamora, like, before her morals and stuff changed.
Yeah.
It's, like, she was already kind of thinking about it, but she wasn't at that, like, edge yet.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I mean, I think Peter really, like, had a big part to play in that, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But, so, we're back to, you know, the Thor, Captain, Iron Man trio, and they're just trying to kill Thanos. They're trying to be like, fuck you, we're gonna kill you.
The amazing part.
And Thanos is basically like, I'm gonna take the gauntlet and I'm gonna just reduce the entire universe to nothing so I can rebuild. Because apparently, if you just wipe out half the universe, some people hold a grudge. Who would have fucking thought?
I know.
Wild. Wow, Thanos! Like, you're incredible. Oh my God. Wow.
The amazing thing, like, about, like, the three of them versus Thanos, like, I know Iron Man isn't, like, the strongest. Like, you know, Tony Stark isn't the strongest, but, like, Thor and Cap are, like, some of the strongest, like, beings. Like, and they couldn't even stop Thanos. Like, that's insane to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All three of them combined against Thanos.
I mean, Thanos is Thanos. He's literally a, like, Titan.
No, I know, but, like, still. Anyway, but, yeah. So, I think, you were right. So, they talk about the Earth being, like, destroyed to nothing, and he's like, no one will remember that it was built from blood, and, like, everyone would be grateful to him, and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, dick.
He goes on and on. He's like,
And then Thanos overwhelms the two, like, the three of them.
Yeah.
He's like, so Thor's, like, about to kill, Thor's about to be killed. Thanos takes over Cap and Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, so this is when he has Stormbreaker pushing into Thor's chest. Yeah. Also, side note, we didn't talk about this in Infinity War episode, but if you remember, like, the dwarf says something about, like, in theory, Stormbreaker can summon the Bifrost. I didn't realize that in Infinity War. Why did I not realize that was the Bifrost that he came through?
Are you kidding me?
No, I am not kidding you. I just rewatched it the other night, and
you guys can't see it, but I'm giving her the meanest death bitch look
I know,
I've
I'm,
ever created.
I'm sorry, like, I feel like I obviously knew it, but, like, it kind of just, like, clicked.
Oh, I obviously knew it, but, anyway, I didn't say it, I didn't realize.
Anyway, I just kind of put that connection that, like, the elf, or, oh my God, the dwarves. Anyway.
This isn't Disenchantment. We're not sponsored, by the way. This isn't Disenchantment. You're not Alpha. Like, just shush.
Okay, you take it over from here because I'm fucking up.
Oh, because Lexi can't remember any facts. Captain finally kicks up the hammer. Fucking finally. Finally. It was hinted back in Age of Ultron when the hammer moved a little bit. People were like, did it move? Or was that just the camera being weird?
Dude, honestly, that, I don't think you understand. Seeing that in theaters was one of the most chilling moments ever. Like, I get teary-eyed, like, talking about it. What?
Nothing. Just trying to imagine being in a movie theater. It's been a while.
No, it's, dude, like, I don't think you understand. It was one of the most, like, awesome things ever. But, yeah.
Even with the hammer, though, Cap is still overpowered, and he's like, damn, I guess that's fucking it.
Like, damn, shit's rough.
So the Black Order comes with their ships and all these other alien creatures we've seen and haven't seen, you know.
It's basically just...
2014, Gamora turns on Thanos. We have a whole bunch of shit.
It's basically just more, like, alien race armies that we, like, don't know about. Like, we have the Chitauri, like, that were from 2012. Like, obviously, they're still there. But then we have other, like, races that are there.
Yeah, and I know you really like this quote, so I'll let you take over.
This one? Oh, yay. So basically we talked about how he wants to, like, Thanos wants to eradicate the universe, blah, blah, blah. So, at this point, Cap stands back up and, you know, he, like, takes his final, stance against the almighty Thanos, you know, and this is, like, he's like, I can do this all day, you know? I don't think he doesn't say that, right? It's just, like, the look on his face. He tightens his shield.
But, like, you can just see it. You can just see that he's like. Also, real quick, you know how when Cap catches Mjolnir for the first time,
I know exactly what you're gonna say, but yes,
he like braces for the impact.
Yeah,
like, he gives a little bit.
He, like,
that's what he does with his shield.
Mm-hmm. But when
he doesn't know that the hammer just would stop in his hand.
Yeah, but, like, Thor always just, like, holds it, and it just, like, he doesn't braces for impact. Yeah, I knew exactly that's what you were gonna say when you started saying it. I know. Fun little theories.
And then we finally hear, oh, my favorite scene ever.
I'll let you take this.
On your left.
If you don't remember.
Okay, portal scene is by far, this isn't even the best scene in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The best.
This gets me every time. Down. I cry every time I watch this. I hope you realize that.
Oh, I'm like I don't usually cry with these, like, movies just because, like, they're not that emotional. But, like, mm-hmm. this one, I was like I was freaking out, like, you know.
Endgame fucked me up for a few weeks. Like, I don't think you realize that. That shit fucked me up for a little bit.
So, sling ring portals from the magicians appear all over, and all of the snapped heroes come back because they got blipped. So mm-hmm. they come back and they're gonna fight. And they finally say it. We have the Avengers theme. Everything's going.
And
Captain America finally says, Avengers assemble.
I think we've been waiting literally the whole entire MCU for him to say that. And that's
Well, they teased it in, was it Ultron? They teased it in one movie. Cap was like, Avengers.
It had to be Ultron because that was before Civil War. And that's when they had Wanda. So it had to be Ultron. It had to be. I'm pretty sure. So there's a lot of notable scenes in just this portal scene, like this portal montage, you know, where it stretches. So
we're just going to talk about our top five favorite scenes from this. So one of mine was Pepper Potts in her rescue suit.
Well, these are all of ours, but.
Well, yeah, but Pepper Potts in her fucking rescue suit. Fantastic. If you guys don't know, in the comics, she actually wears this suit, like, a lot. So it's just, like, it's, like, a nice little callback to all of that stuff.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know if you remember at the beginning of Endgame, Tony's like, oh, Mom never wears anything I buy her or make her. So, like, this is a nice little, like, oh, yay, we're fighting together. And then, yeah, so they're fighting side by side, which I really loved. Or, like, back to back, which was even cooler.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, God, I'm gonna have to go watch this scene.
I know. It's okay.
The whole thing. Maybe just the whole MCU again?
Yeah, basically. Why not?
Got we also have the Ravagers return from Guardians, so nice little callback. Oh, we don't really see a lot of action with them, but
I forgot they were in this.
Yeah, we just see they just kind of pop out and we're like, yo, you're gonna fuck some shit up? And they're like, yeah. And he still has, I forget the guy's name, but he still has Yondu's, arrow thing, with the whistle.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Okay, now I remember that. And then we have the oh my god, I'm gonna butcher it. I always mess
Dora
up.
Dora Milaje?
Yeah, there we go. I'm bad with things.
You're okay.
I know, it's okay.
Them bad bitches.
Mm-hmm. What did they,
bitch, you can't kill me.
What did they, what was the significance for them in Endgame?
That they were just, were there. Even before Black Panther came, I'm sure, they were gonna come.
Okay.
But then Black Panther was also there. It was,
Yeah, because we saw them obviously come through the portal with, Shuri and Black Panther. But we didn't really see a lot of them, fighting, per se. We saw them more fight in Infinity War.
Yeah. And just, them being there, just, to show solidarity and all that. Just, a nice little callback.
Yeah. And then we get, I think this, me and Matt can agree, this is our favorite fucking thing ever about this whole montage, is Scarlet Witch. Oh, my God.
So, if you guys remember, if you're, I don't know if it's, I don't think the details are gone in right away, but looking back, when you're snapped, when you got blipped, you come back exactly when you, the same age, same thought, all of that. Nothing changed about you.
Yeah.
From when you got snapped to when you got blipped. So that's why your thing didn't affect it.
I don't know if they come back at the same spot they were blipped, but I think they were, because I think Peter says he was still on Titan.
Yeah.
So,
so they all got they got blipped, and they have all of their memories, and it feels like a minute went by, not even.
Yeah, for her,
it's like they went to bed and woke up.
Yeah, for her, it's like Vision literally had just died for her.
Like, a few hours ago.
Yeah, maybe not even that.
Yeah. That's crazy.
She hasn't even processed that Thanos ripped the Mind Stone out of his head.
I feel like this really fuels her fight, and it's also the first time we see her use so much of her raw power.
Dude, you can literally see in her face, when her eyes and everything, and she's like, "You took everything from me," and he's like, "I don't even know you." And she's like, "Oh, you will. Oh my god, stop. Wait. Side note. It's side note time. Ah, this is my favorite thing." So, I was watching a TikTok, but it comes from this is a while ago. But it comes from, one of the Comic-Con things with, Kevin Feige and everything like that. And
yeah.
He was talking about, I don't know if, people realize, but, Wanda could have killed Thanos in this scene. If he didn't, put down, rain fire on his troops, she was gonna kill him. And that would have been such a, honestly,
and
I would.
I feel like this is why she's more powerful than Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Captain Marvel couldn't kill him herself, I don't think.
No, I think, because,
she could
even
subdue
when it was
him.
One-on-one, no one else was involved.
Mm-hmm.
She got, grabbed and tossed and shit.
Yeah, that's true. And also, take into account Wanda's, emotions, too. This bitch was pissed.
I feel like Wanda is very emotional, just in general.
Yeah, no, she uses her emotion, her emotions
Captain
are...
Captain Marvel's just a bitch.
That's, that'll be a nice little thing to talk about in WandaVision, too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, WandaVision.
That's going to be fun to talk about.
So, of course, we have to talk about Captain Marvel, just because as much as we all hate her, she played, a huge role in fighting Thanos.
Okay, we don't all hate her, but anyway.
Okay, a lot of people hate her. The vast majority of people hate her.
I know we've talked about this already, but I feel like a lot of people, just hate the person who plays her instead of the, character themselves.
I kind
of
hate her, too.
Okay, anyway, that's besides the point. Moving on.
After all of those really good scenes, we come to this one moment. I'll let you take it.
Am I?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, I am. So, I don't know if you guys remember, but in the first Avengers, so the 2012 one, Captain says to Iron Man, you're not the guy who will lay down his life or whatever and things like that, and Iron Man finally becomes that guy who can lay down his life.
Oh.
And it's really upsetting. So, Like, once again...
Really sad.
So, like, if you think back to all the Iron Man movies, Tony, like, it's not more of the fact that Tony is just, like, stronger than his villains. He just outsmarts them, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, he ends up taking the stones from Thanos and puts them into his own suit, you know? And as this is happening, you know, Thanos is like, I am inevitable, meaning, like, he can't be stopped. He is sure to happen. So, like, the look on his face when he sees the stones aren't there after, like, he snaps his fingers... It's just...
I got Tony's reply.
It's priceless. So he's like, I am Iron Man. And obviously that's parallel to Iron Man 1's ending. And this is just so good. It's just so good.
And of course, like, it sucks that he, you know, gonna die from all this, like, gamma radiation and shit.
I was really thinking they were gonna save him somehow. Like, I really thought... Like, when I was watching it, I was like, they're not gonna let him die. And then he died, and I was like, fuck.
But at least Peter Parker and Pepper, like, got closure. Like, he got closure from them. They got closure from him.
No. The scene...
He died in peace.
The scene between him and Pepper, like...
Rough.
That was... Rough. That kind of killed me. Like, when Parker goes up to him, he's like, we did it, Mr. Stark, we won. Like, that was real... Like, that was emotional and stuff like that. But, like, to finally see, like, Pepper, you know, like... accept who, like, obviously she accepted who her husband was, but, like, to finally, like, actually see the acceptance, you know what I mean, being, like, I'm proud of you, like, I know this is something, like, you had to do, you know what I mean, like, I'm not upset, like, you can just rest now, like, we're gonna be okay. Oh my god.
Oh god, so sad.
I just think that's a really cool part.
And that brings us to the epilogue of Endgame. So, the world reunites with their lost half, the Stark family is dealing with their losses, and they get to see a pre-recorded hologram, which is, like, really cool that they put this in there. Like, he had the forethought to just, like, leave a message just in case.
Yeah.
So this is where the famous I love you 3000 line comes from.
Yeah, I think it was earlier in the movie, but, like, this makes it, like, more prominent.
Yeah, this makes it have a lot of impact.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Pepper actually uses the first arc reactor, the one that's, like, proof that Tony Stark has a heart. She uses that as a funeral wreath. Like, it's just, like, it's things like that, the cameos of the people that showed up at his funeral. It's just, like, things like that that make this...
The kid from Iron Man 3 was there. There was, like, a lot... There was a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we see Barton and Maximoff, they're grieving together. They're talking about Natasha and, you know, like, I hope they know...
Vision, yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's, then...
But, like, the one problem I have with that scene is Wanda seems pretty stable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Are you referring this to, like, WandaVision?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess
We're not going to spoil WandaVision, but she just looks a lot more stable than at the beginning of, like, when she first got blipped.
Yeah, because...
Like, she just seems so stable.
It's just weird because, honestly, I don't... Because I'm trying to think. WandaVision takes place... We're not spoiling anything.
It's, like, 3 weeks after Endgame.
So... Tony's funeral had to be, I think.
So, I feel like this was, like, a week after the blip.
I think she was just, like, trying to hold it together. Especially because of Tony.
She was, like, in public with everyone and shit.
Yeah, especially with, like, Tony. And I think, like, not spoiling, but I think she knew what she was, like. Obviously, yeah. She didn't know what she was, like, what was going to happen. But, like, I think there was a lot, like, that we don't know about her still, too.
Yeah.
Like,
she's going to be in Spider-Man, so I'm really excited to see her.
Yeah, so I think it's more of just the fact that she was at, like, a public place and, like, didn't want to lose her shit.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I would just say about that.
We also get a little bit of stuff for Thor and that side of the franchise. So
yeah.
So Asgard has a new king, Valkyrie.
Queen.
She's going to be super exciting.
Yeah, that will be cool to see. So
and
then
Thor joins the Guardians and presumably begins to, like, lead as captain, and they have that funny, like, Star-Lord or, like, banter, like, I'm captain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
Of course
you're captain. And then he's like, no, you're not.
Of course. Also, if you didn't see, Quill's also searching for Gamora.
Yeah.
So that's also something. So past Gamora is still, like, in the present, but she, yeah, they just don't know where she is.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
And then we have Cap volunteering to return Mjolnir and all of the stones back to their time branch timelines.
Yeah, like we talked about before.
And then, you know, you guys know the deal. Elderly Cap comes back and he names Falcon as his successor. And he's like, y'all take the reins. I'm done.
Yeah, which I'm really pissed about, honestly.
And then they start talking about Peggy. They don't actually talk about her, but there's like a nice little flashback and they dance and ugh.
Yeah, I'm just...
It's what he deserved.
Yeah, it's what he deserved, but like, if we're talking about the whole grand scheme of like Steve Rogers' character arc...
It was kinda selfish.
Kinda. There's no way he would have ever fucking done that.
Yeah.
Like... Hit the whole point.
I don't know. I think he felt like it was his time to, like, I think he felt like this was his time to do it just because he got screwed by the government. He was on the run for 5 years.
No, and he was like, and this is what Tony was like, get some of that life. But my whole, like, reasoning behind it is because he was always such a selfless person, and, like, he just got his friend back who was, like, you know, like, he just got Bucky back after being blipped and after being with Hydra and blah, 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 you know. I just feel like it would just be, like, a really weird time for him to leave.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, it makes sense for the story progression just because I know they wanted to make, like, the new Avengers, you know?
I know.
And you can't have Cap. Like, they basically killed everyone off or put them in different teams, so.
Just for, like, his own character story, it just doesn't make sense to me, but whatever.
And then the last thing, there's no end credit scene. But if you guys listen closely, the sound that's played over the credits is the sound of the hammer from Iron Man 1 when he's making the first Iron Man suit, which started this whole thing.
And it can also be connected, again, no spoilers, but it can also be connected to Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
T. That's T.
That's T. We're not going to say how, but it can be connected.
And we're going to just keep going straight into Far From Home just because this is like the true epilogue movie. Mm-hmm. Of Phase 3 and the Infinity Saga as a whole.
Yeah, this
we
is where...
We want to keep it all together.
Yeah, this is where it really can, like, actually... Everything, like, kind of... Not concludes, but, like... It sets up the next saga and phases.
So
this is
It's going to be real quick, really nonchalant. There's really not a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we're just doing the basics with this. So this is set 8 months later in the summer of 2024.
Love it. So, the world is reeling with the blip. There's lots of PSAs and talks. We see it in Parker's school when, like, they're all in the gymnasium and they're like, this is what the blip was and this is what happened and some people aged and some people didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's basically it for the blip. There's also some new fights beginning with, like, the elemental monsters that people are seeing all over the world.
Yeah, so there's Mysterio, or, you know, Beck from an alternate universe, and he's supposedly helping Fury and Hill. And this is the first hint we really get into the multiverse, honestly. So this is what cracks open a lot of stuff. It's, like, it's so subtle that, like, they could have ran with it, or they couldn't have, but they did, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I think that this was their way of being, like, oh, multiverse. Little name drop here, drop there. Let's see if this,
This was like an Easter egg for them. Another
for
one of
Phase 4 and the rest of the MCU. But, so Iron Man is now dead, we know.
And they obviously still have to talk, like, they have to talk about this, because he was the mentor for Peter.
So there's so many memorials and reminders that, like, just make Peter feel so much pain, and he, like, He feels like he needs to start being responsible for himself, but he's not ready to be him, like, be his own agent.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, he's not ready to be, like, the have the spotlight on him.
Because everyone, I think, is looking, well, not everyone, but, well, yeah.
Like, Fury wants to talk to with him.
Well, everyone is also looking for the next Iron Man, and I think, you know, the people who know who Spider-Man is, they know that he was close with Tony. Like, they know Peter was close to Tony. So a lot of people kind of look to him.
I don't know. Honestly, like, just a little off topic, but honestly, I think that Peter is definitely going to be the next, like, leader of the Avengers.
Okay, I can see that.
I think that's my biggest bet, because it's not going to be Captain Marvel, because Marvel's trying to phase her out anyway.
It's definitely not going to be Thor.
It's not going to be Thor, because he's on his way out, too.
I mean, it could either be Peter or Sam.
It's not going to be Doctor Strange, because he's only magic.
And he's his own thing, too.
Yeah. Like, he has his own deal. He has to deal with all the magic.
Definitely, definitely not Wanda. I don't see Wanda doing that.
She's unstable as hell.
Okay, anyway. I definitely either see Parker or, like Falcon.
Unless there's, like, new characters that'll pull up, but I really doubt they're gonna do us like that.
No, I think they would try and, like, transition it from someone we already know.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, as the movie goes on, we see more about Spider-Man, the Elementals, and the multiverse becomes more apparent. So, Spider-Man goes on his European vacation with the school, and he encounters the Elementals for the first time. And he also, we see that he develops a crush with MJ, so cute, aww. High school romance, aww. They never last.
Oh, God. They definitely did a better job, I think, of this, like, this movie with, like, downplaying, like, the high school bullshit.
Yeah.
Because I know that was, like, one of our, like, thorns last time that we didn't like.
Yeah, that they were just, like, extras and didn't matter. But, like, all of the characters that were in this mattered.
Yeah, definitely.
And he also Spider-Man eventually talks with Fury and is like, okay, I guess I'll help you. And he learns things about the multiverse. And that they're elemental monsters that arose because of the blip, and they destroyed Beck's alternate Earth, and now he's here to help.
Yeah. So, I think, this is where Spider-Man agrees to help where he can, and he also discusses, like, that he knows he's not ready for, like, the next Avenger-level threat, you know? And he gives Beck the Edith glasses.
Oh, my God. Fucking idiot.
Even dead, I'm the hero.
Yeah. Anyway. So, Beck reveals himself secretly to be the, like, villain of the movie, and he really doesn't want... He's from this Earth, he's not from the multiverse, and he can just, like, manipulate illusions using drones and projectors. So he's, like, a science guy.
Yeah, and, you know, MJ discovers the projector tech, and she tells Peter that she suspects him of being Spider-Man, but, you know, he kind of just, like, tells her, and then the projector turns on, and Peter kind of puts two and two together. So
thank god he's fucking smart.
I know, right? So he almost dies in Berlin at the hands of Beck because that was another one of his illusions, and that's where, like, we get the Iron Man's corpse and everything like that.
That was such, like, a haunting. I freaked out. Like, I was watching this. I watched this pretty recently, like, right before WandaVision came out. I watched this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I waited, because I was like, oh, this is more Phase 4 shit. I don't want to watch it and then not remember all the details.
I want to rewatch this. Where can you watch it?
I pirated it.
Oh. Cut that out. Anyway.
No, it's online for free. You know, all those sites that have, like, really, really weird ads on the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, those. But yeah, I freaked out. I was like, oh my god, that's, like, actually his corpse. Like, no.
Yeah, it's weird.
But yeah, Spider-Man gets hit by a train and then wakes up in the Netherlands in a jail and has Happy collect him, and they fly to London.
And this is where we see, like, the parallel of him being Iron Man with the suit and everything.
And Happy, like, sees him and he smiles and he's like, yeah.
Aw, this nerd's Iron Man. So, I think this is probably, like, my favorite part of the movie is when Spider-Man fights Beck, and he uses his, like, hypersensitivity to avoid the illusions. I think that's really cool.
This is a really cool scene, especially because it's, like, on the Tower Bridge. Like, it's a pretty cool battle scene, too.
It's probably one of my like, better movies, like, fight scenes that I like.
Yeah. So, Beck seemingly dies of his injuries, but an accomplice retrieves all of the drones, and Spider-Man gets the Edith glasses back. And that's basically where that most action of the movie ends. May and Happy are in a complicated relationship. So we're back in New York. Everything's, like, better now.
Gang, gang.
You find out that Aunt May and Happy are in a complicated relationship.
As if that wasn't clear enough.
And obviously Peter doesn't approve. But then he's, like, a hypocrite and goes on a date with MJ.
And he takes
her web swinging, and she screams, and they're so happy. Yeah. And it's honestly kind of a nice parallel between, like, this Spider-Man and, like, the Andrew Garfield, Tony Maguire.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, you know? Like, definitely. You can see that, like, that web swinging type.
Yeah. So, you wanna just take us to the end?
Yeah, I'll take us to the end. So, at Times Square, they're chilling, and J. Jonah Jameson, from the same exact actor from The Amazing Spider-Man, reveals footage and audio that implicates Spider-Man for all the elemental attacks and the death of Beck.
And it reveals his secret identity as Peter Parker. So he's flipping out.
Great.
So, like, the best part about this is, again, more like multiverse stuff. The fact that Jameson is played by the same person as in the original Spider-Man movies can be like a hint towards the multiversal theme.
Ooh.
There's also like a rumor that a bunch of actors from the original Spider-Man movies, both the Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire movies, may be in No Way Home.
There's no way they're not going to be. Like, come on.
I think Andrew Garfield has already said he's not in it. Tobey Maguire hasn't said anything.
But he can.
Emma Stone hasn't said anything.
He can say he's not in it, but like, come on.
He's like, I haven't gotten a call yet.
He can say that and he can still have a call. Like, come on.
Yeah. So, we'll keep hoping, but, you know.
We shall see. And then the end credits.
A nice end credit scene, if you want
to
take that.
Yeah, so the end credits talks is, like, links to, you know, Secret Invasion. We're back with the Skrulls. So, Fury and Hill are revealed to be the Skrull, Talos and Sorin covering for the real Fury and Hill. So
they're from Captain Marvel, if you guys forgot.
Yeah, so the real Fury and Hill are in space. Well, we don't know about Hill, but Fury's in space relaxing.
I'm assuming she's in space, too, because why would Fury be in space and not her?
I know. I was just stating.
I'm just saying. But, yeah, it's just set up for a later movie and or TV show called Secret Invasion. It's based off of comic release source material, so.
Yeah, this will be interesting. I'm kind of curious to see what they're going to do with this.
I'm hoping it's going to be really good. But that does it. That does it for Phase 3 and the entire Infinity Saga.
That's kind of
crazy. I know
we kind
of rushed through that last little bit, but this episode's already getting long.
Yeah. So I guess when we see you next time, we're either going to be talking about just WandaVision, or we'll be talking about WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We're not decided yet.
We're going to just group at least one show together, so don't feel pressured to watch this as soon as it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you watch the entire show first and then come back and watch it, just because we're not going to be, like, going episode by episode to make sure we don't do spoilers.
And we
like,
want to be caught up.
We're going to talk about shit in episode one and relate it to episode six.
Yeah. And we're also going to... We also want to be on track with when Loki comes out, so...
So we're trying to catch up, so...
Yeah, definitely.
But we're getting there, though. We have, like, a week. Yeah, a week from tomorrow.
Yep, so until then, I guess we will talk to you guys later.
Class is dismissed. Guys, you know, go. Be free.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.